How many of you know that many of us are here standing on the prayers of somebody else? Some of us had praying mamas. Some of us had some praying grandmamas, some praying daddies, some praying granddaddies, some praying brothers and sisters. And I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, church, once again, I get the awesome privilege to say welcome to Christian Tabernacle Church, where we've come to praise and worship the Lord. So let's give God another hallelujah hand clap of praise and worship. Hallelujah. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord. Am I right? It's something about being in the house of the Lord that just makes me feel all right. It makes me feel like praising, makes me feel like thanking, makes me feel like giving glory to the God who died for me. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, let us turn in our Bibles, if you have it, if not, on our overhead. And we're in the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter of this New Testament book written by the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Today's reading will come from the New International Version. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Let us read together. Ready, set, read. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You may be seated. May God add a blessing to the hearing, reading, and understanding of his holy word, and may God's word be a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. Amen. Today, my brothers and sisters, I would like to shine the sermonic spotlight on a portion of that verse number 5, on a portion of verse 5, where it says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, if you look at those words, number one, it says, we take captive. Taking captive means that you have the power to overtake something that is trying to overtake you. Amen. It says that we take captive. We don't ask it to be under our control. We tell it it's going to be under our control. It says we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And my brothers and sisters, from this text that we have read today, I'd like to talk, preach, and teach with this thought in mind. Making your mind mine. Making your mind mine. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. It's not easy. But we got to make our mind mine. Making your mind mine. Amen. While God is the master over your life, you are the manager of your life. And if, like Snoop Dogg, you want to start living your best life, then you have got to learn how to make your mind mine. No one came here today by accident. No one got in your car on the way to the mall, made a wrong turn, and ended up in the CTC parking lot. The reason that you are here today is because on last week, or perhaps it was just on last night, you gave some thought to where you would be Sunday morning, and you did it. Nobody here today just got dressed. No, no one woke up in the morning with their eyes closed, reach into your closet, grab the first thing you put your hands on and put it on to come to church. No, you got dressed because you went to your closet, you thought about what was in there and what you wanted to put on, and then you got dressed. You are wearing what you have on because you thought about it. See, the thoughts that pass through your mind are responsible for virtually everything you do in your life. Let me say that again. The thoughts that pass through your mind are responsible for virtually everything you do in life. People don't join church without giving it some thought. People don't leave church without giving it some thought. Lonely thoughts lead to loneliness, while happy thoughts lead to happiness. Evil thoughts lead to evilness, while holy thoughts lead to holiness. As Christians, we are taught to be like-minded. We are taught to be of one mind, and that mind being the mind of Christ. And we are taught that because our omniscient, all-knowing God knows that the thoughts that pass through your mind are responsible for virtually everything you do in your life. In the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, I won't have you turn there unless you have your Bibles handy, but in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, here are the words you will find. It says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." Verse 6 says, "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming." Paul is letting us know in that text that while it is not okay to kill people, it is okay for you to kill the sin in your life. See, to please God, we must die to the old sinful self, and we must live as one who has been made alive in Christ. Amen. It is your earthly nature that gets you into trouble. It is your earthly nature that makes you want to be a slave to money, be a slave to food, be a slave to drugs, be a slave to alcohol, and be a slave to sex and sex partners. But the Bible tells us that you can overcome them if you tap into the power of Christ's Spirit. Amen. To subdue the thoughts that enter your mind. No longer can you go along. No, you must move along. You've got to speak over yourself. You've got to command your demons to depart by pleading the blood of Jesus over them. When your mind urges you to pick up that blunt, when your mind urges you to pick up that bottle, no, baby, you say no and pick up your Bible instead. I promise you there's no better high than being high in the Spirit. All of us, we know that words are powerful, for the Bible in Proverbs 18 and 21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. But what we must understand is our words and our thoughts go hand in hand. God, the Bible tells us, confused the language of the people in Babel. Why? Because they wanted to build a tower to take them to heaven. And God himself said that if the people remained like-minded and if they remained on one accord, there was nothing that they set their mind to that would be impossible for them. Do you not realize it is the human mind that has allowed man to build an ark? It is the human mind that has allowed man to walk on the moon. It is the human mind that has allowed man to create cars that drive themselves, to make 45-ton planes take off and land like 45-ounce birds. It is the man's mind that has allowed him to have you in one state and turn on your lights in your house in another state. It is the man's mind that has allowed you to have Facebook and FaceTime. It is the mind of man that allows you to post things on your life and someone on the other side of the world can talk about it. It is the mind of man that has allowed us to holler at a speaker calling the name of a lady we don't even know, give her a command, and she does what we says and don't complain about it. All of that comes from the power of the human mind. Because of the human mind, we have smartphones, we have smart TVs, we have smart clocks, we have smart thermostats, we have smart vacuums, and all we need now is a few more smart people and a few more smart presidents. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there with the president. I shouldn't have gone there. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, pastor's still working on making his mind man. I'm still working on it, y'all. I'm still working on it. But seriously, though, at best, the human mind is marvelous, but at its worst, the human mind can be dangerous. But because the human mind is so powerful, if you want to live a life that shames the devil and glorifies your God, you must learn the art of making your mind man. A person who claims to love Jesus but cannot control their own thoughts and actions, that person is unstable, and in that condition should not expect to receive any of the blessings of God. And the reason that is simply because if you know Jesus, then you should know better. The UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, said it this way. They said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I think most of us could agree with that statement, that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I think we would also agree with the statement that while a mind is a terrible thing to waste, the wrath of God is a terrible thing to taste. That is why we must learn the art of making our mind mind. Let me see if I can get you. Move your feet back because I'm about to come down your row right now. Have you ever had a thought that crossed your mind that freaked you out? It never came out as a word. It was just a thought in your mind, but it caused you to have a silent conversation with yourself where you told yourself, whoa, where did that come from? Well, I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from your sinful nature. Often I tell you to turn to your neighbor, but right now I'm not going to ask you to turn to your neighbor and tell them some of the thoughts that's been going through your mind, because I don't want none of y'all asking me to turn to my neighbor and tell them my business either. But if the truth be told, and y'all know I got to tell the truth, if the truth be told, all of us ought to be glad folk can't read our mind. Because if folk could read our minds, there would be some Sundays when the folk on our row would be looking for another seat. Why? It is because our thoughts are a part of our sinful flesh. Oh, I just need two or three of y'all to say amen on that. The Bible says, as a person thinks, so is he. Your thoughts, therefore, are a reflection of who you are. So you must guard your mind and take control of your thoughts. Paul says, taking every thought captive If you have thoughts of anger, you've got to take those thoughts and make them captive. You've got to lock them up. If you have thoughts of abuse, you've got to lock them up. If you have thoughts of lust or thoughts of lying, you've got to lock them up. If you've got thoughts of bitterness and thoughts of brokenness, you've got to lock them up. The Bible says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is right and lovely, think on those things. You've got to take captive your thoughts and learn how to practice making your mind mind you. So in our text today in 2 Corinthians, we find Paul is dealing with some church folk, y'all. Some church folk who were challenging his apostolic authority. Matter of fact, they were clowning Paul, y'all. They were clowning Paul. They was being disrespectful and being slanderous against Paul. And while his natural reaction would be to give them a piece of his mind, Paul recognized that he must maintain control of his thoughts and not give the others the power to control his mind nor his actions. Folk who talk about you and folk who demean you, they don't have any power over you unless you give it to them by losing control of your own mind. Self-control is a strength. It is not a weakness. For it takes strength to deal with some church folk, y'all. But once you've made up your mind of who you are and made up in your mind what you are, you will be able to keep your head when others around you are losing theirs, as Rudyard Kipling would say. So in our text, Paul makes clear the standards by which his life is governed. Paul says his life is governed not by the standards of the world, because the standards of the world are set by the prince of the world, that being Satan. So Paul teaches that we Christians, while we live in the world, we should not live as the world. Therefore, Paul teaches us that we cannot fight as the world does. We can't call each other names. No, baby, we need to call on the name of the Lord. We don't get physical with folk. We get spiritual with some folk. We don't use our hands to solve our problems. We use our faith to solve our problems. And we don't curse our brothers and sisters. No, we bless them in spite of what they do to us. Paul teaches that we can do this. Why? Because we have divine power. So we don't need weapons in the flesh, because we only need Jesus in the spirit. Amen. Paul says our weapons are divine and we can do all things through Christ. And so here's your first point from today. Don't let your mind take you places you can't take Jesus. Don't let your mind take you places you can't take Jesus. Don't let your mind, don't let your thoughts lead you down a path of unrighteousness and a path of unholiness. When you feel yourself going there, before you buy your wolf ticket, you got to pray to God to give you the Holy Ghost power to make your mind mine. There's someone here that knows there have been some times where you lost control of your mind and you thought about some things you did not want to think about. You thought about divorce. You thought about moving away or running away. You thought about giving in. Somebody even thought about suicide. The devil wanted you to go there, but God refused to open that door. Beloved, you have got to fight the temptation to think and act like a child of the devil when you know you are a child of the Most High Living God. In verse 4 of our text, Paul says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Paul basically says our weapons are spiritual. They are not carnal. So our weapons are not the weapons of the world. Our weapons come from God and are designed to tear down strongholds. So I believe what Paul is teaching us in that verse is simply this. To control your mind, your weapons must be divine. To control your mind, your weapons must be divine. If Anya can help a little bit and Dr. Phil might be able to help a little bit. But the Bible says there are some things that can only be done through prayer and fasting. So when you bring your mind under divine submission, you are able to fight using divine weapons. What are some of the divine weapons? Somebody may want to know. Honesty is a divine weapon. Integrity is a divine weapon. Purity is a divine weapon. Sobriety is a divine weapon. And the Bible says you can demolish arguments. You can demolish disagreements. You can demolish bickering and backbiting. You can demolish contention and dissension if you fight with divine weapons. But to control your mind, your weapons must be divine. We don't fight fire with fire. We fight fire with love. We don't fight injustice with injustice. We fight injustice with justice. We don't fight ignorance with ignorance. We fight ignorance with excellence. We don't fight darkness with darkness. We fight darkness with light. We fight with the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. We fight with the full armor of God because our mind is stayed on Jesus. I'm almost done, y'all. When we get down to the fifth verse, Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So when you start thinking crazy, when anything comes to your mind that is contrary to God, like a victorious warrior, you've got to take captive every negative thought. You've got to take captive every demonic thought. You've got to take captive every evil thought that is trying to bring you down. Just as your life has been transformed, you must transform negativity to react in a manner that is obedient to the word of your God. Paul says, I demolish arguments. Paul said, I bring down strongholds. Paul said, I have power over them. They do not have power over me. Paul said, what is crooked, I made straight. What was clouded, I made clear. Paul said, I do these things because I think before I act. I think before I act. So while you can't let your mind take your places, you can't take Jesus. And to control your mind, your weapons must be divine. Thirdly, I believe Paul is teaching us today that you must control your thoughts and not let your thoughts control you. You must control your thoughts and not let your thoughts control you. You start controlling your thoughts by evaluating the thoughts that you allow to go in your mind. Let me see if I can help somebody. Years ago, people today, we don't read newspapers, but years ago, many of us used to get the newspaper, and on Sunday, they had the special comic section. And in the comic section, there was a comic strip called Peanuts. Anybody familiar with Peanuts? Peanuts was about a young man by the name of Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown had some friends, y'all, but Charlie Brown also had a sister by the name of Sally. Y'all don't even remember. Sally was his sister, y'all. And in this particular comic strip, Sally was supposed to have a memory verse. And when she got to church, she could not remember her memory verse. And so Sally stood up, and when they asked her to say her memory verse, Sally froze, y'all. Somebody tried to help her. They thought that maybe if she could remember the book of the Bible where the memory verse was, that then she would be able to remember the memory verse. So somebody said, Sally, what is the book of the Bible where your verse is? Sally was a little nervous, y'all. She was a little scared, y'all. The first thing that came to her mind, Sally said, I think it's in the book of reevaluation. Somebody didn't get it. Somebody didn't get it. All of us should know there is no book called reevaluation. But I'm here to tell you today that sometimes reevaluation is exactly what you need. There are some times you need to reevaluate your thoughts. You need to reevaluate your choices. You need to reevaluate your likes. Reevaluate your desires. Reevaluate even your friends. And you need to start taking captive your thoughts. Your mind is not in control of you. You are in control of your mind. So it's time to take control of your thoughts. It's time to take control of your emotions. It's time to take control of your words, to take control of your actions. You've got to learn and then put in the practice the art of making your mind mind. When thoughts of anger come, you got to tell yourself, I've been there, done that, and I'm not going there right now. When thoughts of lust come into your mind, you got to say, baby, we not going there on today. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I'm gonna be glad in it. When thoughts of lying come to your mind, you got to tell yourself that you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When your enemies and even your haters come upon you, you got to tell your mind, if God be for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, it don't matter what the haters say. It don't matter what the haters do, because I know I've got a God on my side. God loves me. God cares for me. And God looks after me. You got to understand, when you begin to worry, when you begin to worry how you're gonna pay your rent, how you gonna make your next car payment, you got to tell yourself, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power, and guess what else? A sound mind. God has given you a sound mind. So you got to start telling your sound mind to mind. You got to tell your mind to get in line. You got to tell your mind to start operating by the standards of God and not the standards of this world. You got to take captive every thought to make it obedient to your Christ, the one who shed his blood for you, the one who went to Calvary for you, the one who died so that you might live, the one who wants you to have life and to have life more abundantly. But you cannot have the abundant life until you learn how to make your mind mind, so you can start tearing down strongholds. You can demolish every thought that stands against your God. You can start stomping on the devil's head. Tell the devil to get thee beneath your feet. You got to start fighting against every thought that comes into your mind that is not of your God. You have got to learn the art of making your mind mine. Let the people of God say, amen. Making your mind mine is an art. It is something that you have the power to do, but you have got to have the will to do it. God has given you everything that you need to be successful in this world and successful in your life. But the devil tries to put things in your mind to confuse you. Put things in your mind to make you doubt the power and the ability of your God. But you've got to know that God has a plan for you. And his plan is to prosper you and not to harm you. So Paul says we've got to put to death all of those things which come from our earthly nature. And we've got to put on the fullness of our God. Let us pray. God in heaven, Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you. We bless you for your holy word, God. For you have spoken today into the ears of your people, God. It is my prayer that those ears have heard what thus saith the Lord. Open their minds, open their hearts, Father God, to see more clearly than they saw before, God. Help them to understand, God, that we all have the power to make our minds mine. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, God. And if we would tap into the Holy Spirit of God, there is nothing that we cannot do. So, God, continue to look over us. Continue to bless us. Continue to help us as we walk this walk called life, God. We praise you. We worship you. We give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' holy name, we pray.